Buffalo, a city on the rise.
Buffalo is moving in the right direction.
Or a community left behind.
It's time for some common sense solutions.
Well, maybe dog napping has gone down, but shootings and homicides are up.
It all depends on who you ask. And now voters are asked to choose a course for the next 4 years. Tonight, all three candidates will be on the same stage to answer your questions.
This is Decision 2013, the Buffalo mayoral debate, presented by WNED, WGRZ, WBFO, and the Buffalo News, in cooperation with the League of Women Voters of Buffalo, Niagara.
Good evening, and we welcome our viewers here on WGRZ and WNED to our Buffalo mayoral debate. We are just minutes away now from hearing from the candidates.
And tonight we will hear from all three, even though there is a separate Democratic primary that will only involve incumbent Mayor Byron Brown and fellow Democrat Bernie Tolbert. In November, you will also see Sergio Rodriguez on the Republican line.
And this election certainly comes at a critical time for the city. Yes, there is progress. Plenty of development downtown, like the Harbor Center and the waterfront projects. But at the same time, the FBI has ranked Buffalo the 11th most violent city in America. And the graduation rate in Buffalo schools is barely above 50%.
Along with the Buffalo News, we commissioned Siena College to conduct a poll earlier this month and found that between the Democrats, Mayor Brown has a big lead over Bernie Tolbert. The numbers add up to 101% because they're rounded. Now, the numbers were not good for Sergio Rodriguez. The pollsters found 55% of voters were not even familiar with him.
Well, now it is time to hear from the candidates and hear what they have to say. Let's go to the WNED studios in Buffalo and join moderator Jim Randy.
Scott Mariellis, thank you, and welcome to the WNED studios, where over the next hour we'll learn more about the candidates seeking your vote on primary day and election day. Let's get to it and meet our three candidates tonight. Democrat Byron Brown. Mr. Brown has served as mayor of Buffalo since 2006. He has also served as a member of the New York State Senate and the Buffalo Common Council. Mr. Brown has also been endorsed by the Conservative, Working Families, and Independence parties. The Republican candidate is Sergio Rodriguez. Mr. Rodriguez most recently worked as coordinator of the Office of Veterans and Military Affairs at Madai College. He is also a veteran of the U.S. Marine Corps. Mr. Rodriguez will also appear on the Progressive Party line in November and will seek a conservative nomination through a write-in campaign in the September primary. Democrat Bernie Tolbert. Mr. Tolbert is the former special agent in charge of the Buffalo office of the FBI. He has also served as the person in charge of security at Coca-Cola in Atlanta and was vice president of security for the NBA. We should also note that Mr. Tolbert is a former board member of the Western New York Public Broadcasting Association. Gentlemen, thank you for being here. Welcome. The candidates will be taking questions tonight from our panelists, whom you will meet in a moment, and answering viewer and listener questions submitted prior to tonight's broadcast. Here are the rules for tonight's debate. Each candidate will have 45 seconds to make an opening statement. Questions will alternate, and the candidates will have 1 minute to answer. The panelists will also have the option to ask a follow-up question. Each candidate will have 30 seconds to answer follow-ups. Email questions will be directed to all three candidates, who will have 30 seconds each to respond. The candidates may not interrupt one another, and time limits will be enforced. A bell will ring when time has expired. The League of Women Voters of Buffalo, Niagara will be keeping time for us tonight. At the end of the question and answer period, each candidate will have 1 minute to make a closing statement. The candidates drew lots to determine who would speak first. Mr. Rodriguez, you have 45 seconds for your opening statement.
Thank you. In the next hour, you will hear from me for about 15 minutes to hear a specific plan for the solutions that I have to address the issues that matter most for the people of Buffalo. Visit my website, sergioformayor.com. Now, if the last two debates are any indication, my opponent will make claims that I don't have solutions, even though I've published them. He will also question my facts, even though Channel 2's truth test, I've passed that test with flying colors. Now, the reason why I'm here today in a Democratic primary is because the majority of my supporters are Democrats who believe that there's not a Republican or a Democratic solutions to the issues that matter most, but they're looking for the right leadership.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Tolbert, your next 45 seconds for your opening statement.
Good evening. I'd like to thank WNED TV, Channel 2, and the League of Women Voters for sponsoring tonight's debate. Over the next 60 minutes, you'll hear us debate why you should elect one of us as the next mayor of Buffalo. Before we begin, let me tell you why I want to serve as your mayor. I was born and raised in Buffalo. My family still lives here. I received my college degrees from the University of Buffalo, and I've worked in the city as a social worker, a teacher, and a special agent with the FBI. I know of the issues and problems here in Buffalo, not just from experience, but from listening to you, the people, who've shared your concerns about issues in your neighborhood. I have the leadership skills to be able to lead this city. I ask for your support in the September primary on the Democratic line. Thank you.
And Mr. Brown, you have 45 seconds.
Thank you for this opportunity to talk about the progress in Buffalo. It is an honor to be your mayor. I love Buffalo and its residents. I'm proud of the progress we've made, cutting taxes, reducing crime, paving the way for record amounts of economic development. Every resident of Buffalo should be proud of our progress. Throughout this campaign, my opponents have done nothing but tear Buffalo down. But I will talk about our accomplishments, I'll talk about my vision for the future, and I will stay focused on continuing the great progress we're seeing in Buffalo. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Our first question tonight comes from Bob McCarthy, political reporter for the Buffalo News. Bob, thanks for being here tonight. Your question is for Mr. Rodriguez first.
Good evening, Mr. Rodriguez, and let's start tonight with the Buffalo Public Schools.
Sure.
Now, understanding that the mayor has no direct role in the Buffalo Public Schools, you and Mr. Tolbert have both criticized the incumbent for not doing enough to champion education. What role would you embrace to address what could be called a crisis situation in city schools? And I invite your opponents in their rebuttals to answer the same question. What would you do or what have you done?
Well, I absolutely agree that it is a crisis situation in the school district. We're only graduating 47% of kids from high school. I am seeking full mayoral control over the education system. This is a model that has worked in New York City. They've seen a 19% increase in graduation rates in New York City since Michael Bloomberg took over in 2002. City of Yonkers, it has increased by 10.4% the graduation rate under mayoral control. But even other mayors who don't have control have done more than the current administration. We have Stephanie Miner in Syracuse. She interviewed the incoming superintendent. She used the platform to inform voters as to what can be done to address the single most important issue facing the city of Buffalo. We have a silent administration that has absolutely done nothing to address these issues. I have published a 12-point platform to address these issues. This includes expanding our vocational programs, bringing truancy officers, going with supervised in-school suspensions rather than sending these kids home.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Tolbert, on this question, 1 minute.
Thank you. I agree that our school situations can be described best as dire. The current administration has said that schools do not come under the purview of the mayor's office. Therefore, it's the responsibility of the Board of Education, the superintendent, and others. I say that as the head of the city, you use your office as a platform to talk about the issues facing our children. Our future is in our children, and we must do everything we can to impact on education. As mayor, I plan to hire a deputy mayor level person to serve with the sole responsibility of looking out for schools and children. I also seek to get more mayoral involvement, not necessarily by taking full control, but by having the ability to appoint several members of the school board. I would also look for changes in the state legislation that would allow us to appoint the superintendent. Unlike the current administration, I'm not afraid to stand up and be a leader and face the fact that nothing's more important to this city right now than the future based on our education and our children.
Mr. Brown, 1 minute on this question.
I have led from day one. I have already hired a deputy mayor to work with our schools and public education. She's sitting right here in the audience. Her name is Dr. Ellen Grant. I saw the crisis in education 12 years ago. That's why I started a summer reading program to get our children reading and writing over the summer months. I've continued that program, and it's grown every single year. One of the first things that I did when I came into office as mayor is spent more money for our Buffalo public schools. During my tenure, we have sent an additional $13 million to the Buffalo public schools.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Our next question tonight comes from Claudine Ewing from WGRZ-TV. Claudine, thank you for being here. Your question tonight goes to Mr. Tolbert first.
Mr. Tolbert, continuing on the theme of education, frustration is almost an understatement for some parents. Families with school-age children, they are not rushing to live into the city of Buffalo because of the Buffalo schools. We have seen city and county control boards, and they have made a difference. Should the state take over Buffalo schools?
Claudine, you're absolutely right. We've lost 20,000 residents since Byron Brown came into office, people who have not been able to stay in the city for one reason or another, some of it having to do with education. I do not think the state should take over the schools. As the mayor, I would want to have the opportunity to work with the school board, with the Board of Education, with the Teachers Federation, with parents, with everyone involved to do all that I could as mayor to make sure that we were moving along the right path for bettering our schools. While a control board has been helpful in our fiscal situation, I would want to have a chance first to use my office to implement the kinds of programs I talk about. A deputy mayor who's responsible for one thing and one thing only, schools and our children, not a deputy mayor who shares other responsibilities. I believe we can do that without full state takeover at this point.
Mr. Brown, 1 minute on this question.
I don't favor a full state takeover of our schools at all. I have worked to collaborate with our schools, with parents, with teachers, and others in the community for the best outcomes of our children. Mr. Tolbert, again, shows that he does not understand how the school system works and how the school district works. We have worked with superintendents, every single superintendent who has been in office during my tenure, I have worked with. And one of the things that I have focused on doing is strategic initiatives to help the schools. When there was a crisis, when music instruction was cut from our schools, I stepped up as a leader, and my team put a plan in place to restore music instruction to the schools where it was cut.
And Mr. Rodriguez, on this question.
Yes, I don't favor state takeover of our education system. I believe that the people in charge of our education system should be represented by Buffalo residents. Now, this is where I think I'm very different than my opponent here. I'm seeking accountability through mayoral control. This is a model that has proven it works. The mayor, since he has basically, since 2005, he has pushed 20,000 residents out of the city of Buffalo. From last year to this year, we went from 54% graduation rate to 47%. And then he does nothing. He doesn't do, he's not urgent, he's not involved, he's not seeing what can actually be done for him to be involved in the education system. But there's so much that can be done. We have a billion-dollar system, and the mayor has done nothing to address these issues. We do have a solution. We have a 12-point platform on these issues. Mayoral control is the beginning.
Claudine, a follow-up?
Just a quick follow-up to Mr. Brown. Did you say you would not be in favor of a full state takeover? So would you be in favor of a partial state takeover of schools?
I would not be in favor of any takeover by the state of our schools at all. I believe the answers to improving the education of our children rest with the local community. And I think all stakeholders need to be more involved. And I have worked with all stakeholders over the years. As mayor of the city of Buffalo, I will continue to strategically work with all stakeholders to increase the educational outcomes and graduation rates of our children.
Mr. Tolbert, I'll offer you 30 more seconds on this if you'd like.
I just wanted to reiterate that my plan, I come from a family of educators. I realize how important education is. I don't favor a full state takeover, but I, like Mr. Rodriguez said, I look for accountability. I'm not afraid to stand up and take leadership and take the responsibility to ensure the future of this city, no matter what has to be done.
And Mr. Rodriguez, another 30 if you'd like it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that the mayor claims that he has now been involved. Well, if his involvement results in a graduation rate going down from 54 to 47%, then we need the mayor to stop being involved, at least this administration. We need real leadership with vision and the sense of urgency that we need in order to lead this city forward and achieve its true potential. The mayor has not shown that.
Next question tonight from Eileen Buckley from WBFO Radio. Eileen, thanks for being here tonight. Your first question tonight is for Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown, the question is on poverty. This year, 2013, on the 10 poorest city list, Buffalo is at number 2, just below Detroit. In 2009, the Brown administration submitted a roadmap for reducing poverty in Buffalo. One of the top goals of the report called for increasing education attainment by improving literacy and the low graduation rates. Mr. Brown, what happened to the poverty plan? And for your opponents, what would their poverty plan be to effectively reduce Buffalo from this poorest city list in the top 10?
Eileen, the best plan to solve poverty is to create jobs. That's why we've cut the commercial tax rate in the city by almost 28%. That's why we've provided over 17,000 job and training opportunities for young people in the city of Buffalo so they will be prepared for the jobs of the future. And that's why we have worked with the private sector to pave the way for over $1.7 billion of economic development that is creating jobs for the residents of this community. And just today, published in Business First, it says Buffalo edges into the upper third of U.S. economic rankings. This shows that what we are doing to produce jobs in this community is beginning to take hold and is beginning to work.
Mr. Rodriguez, 1 minute on the question.
Well, while we're talking about ranking, how about the fact that we're the third poorest city in America, the 11th most dangerous? We have lost over 20... We have the highest unemployment rate in the city of Buffalo in 20 years. We had, when this mayor got elected in 2005, our workforce was 116,000. It now is 106,000. So I don't know what he's talking about when he says that he's developed jobs. Okay, the only jobs that he has created are for people that live outside of the city. We need city residents employed. We have seen the unemployment rate increase systematically since he got elected. And he blames it on the economic collapse years ago. This is 2013. Let's get with the time. Poverty, we get $18 million from HUD to combat poverty. Because of this mayor's lack of administrative capabilities, we had to return money to HUD. So we need to be disciplined in managing our funds. Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Tolbert, 1 minute on the question.
Thank you. When Byron Brown took office, he delegated to one of his deputy mayors the responsibility for coming up with the poverty plan. After quite a bit of time, what came out of that was a report that said they should put together a task force to find how to solve the problem of poverty in Buffalo. To this date, that task force has done absolutely zero. There's nothing on the city's website that talks about a poverty plan. The city has no poverty plan. Talk about literacy. In 2006, according to state tests, we had 66% of eighth graders and 60% of fourth graders were below grade level in literacy. Today, 69% of eighth graders, up 3%, and 75% of fourth graders, up 15%, are below grade level in literacy. I'll tell you one thing I will do as the mayor. I will develop a poverty plan. I will not delegate that responsibility, such an important responsibility, to someone else. I'll do it myself.
Thank you, Mr. Tolbert. Our first email question tonight comes from Elizabeth, and she asks, what is your position on extending Metro Rail, and what measures would you take as mayor to make it happen? And Mr. Rodriguez, you're first with this question. Sure. 30 seconds on this question.
Sure, 30 seconds. Metrorail, I think that's a great concept. I think when we have population density, it makes even greater sense, doesn't it? Right now, we keep losing people every single day in the city of Buffalo, so we need to concentrate in increasing the population. In terms of the Metrorail, that sounds like a neat concept. We have to see what kind of funds we can use from the perhaps accessing federal funds from federal government. But right now, it doesn't make sense to invest city funds on an issue that ultimately is to transport people from the suburbs into the city. We need to invest in our residents.
And Mr. Tolbert, you're next on this question.
Thank you. I think Metrorail serves a good purpose. However, I'd rather concentrate on the transportation needs of residents here in the city of Buffalo. We have people in our neighborhoods who cannot get to grocery stores and to shopping without taking a taxi cab or some form of transportation driving. We need to develop better our Metrorail system to service the people here in the Buffalo before we consider using city money to extend the Metrorail out into the suburbs.
And Mr. Brown, 30 seconds.
My focus has been on better access to transportation for the residents of the city of Buffalo. There have been times when the NFTA has looked to reduce routes that are needed by poor people. I've come to those meetings. I've stood with the people who were concerned about losing their routes and fought to have those routes preserved. That is my focus. My focus is also on opening up Main Street to vehicular traffic so that we can attract retail, commercial businesses, and residents to downtown Buffalo.
Thank you all very much. We finished our first round of questioning tonight. I'll remind our viewers and our listeners that you're listening to and watching Decision 2013, the Buffalo mayoral debate, coming to you live from the WNED studios. Let's begin another round of questioning. Back to Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News. And Bob, your question now is for Mr. Tolbert first.
Mr. Tolbert, you've been criticized in some columns in the Buffalo News for running a low-energy campaign without passion. Will that be the tone of a Tolbert administration, or can we expect something more aggressive?
It's interesting that you say a low-energy campaign without passion. There's no one in this building and in this city who's more passionate about Buffalo than me. I'm a lifelong resident of Buffalo. Even during the times when I've lived in other cities because of employment, Buffalo was the focus of everything I did. I've been involved at Cradle Beach Camp since 1959, and I've spent summers there. I've traveled from New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and other places to spend my summers or parts of my summers here in Buffalo at Cradle Beach Camp. I'm a Buffalo Bills season ticket holder for the past 28 years, and I rarely miss a Buffalo Bills game, even when I'm in another city. There's no one more passionate about Buffalo than me. My mother accuses me of being married to the city, and she says you ought to think about a divorce or taking some time off. As your mayor, you won't find anybody more energetic. I will be out there every day meeting with people in our neighborhoods, doing all I can to be a leader who takes responsibility and shows that this is my home, this is a place I'm proud of, and this is the place I love more than anywhere else.
Mr. Brown, 1 minute.
Well, if Mr. Tolbert has been married to the city, he's sure been an absentee husband, because before he decided to come back to Buffalo to run for mayor, I haven't seen him anywhere doing anything in the city of Buffalo. Buffalo needs a real leader. Mr. Tolbert is long on negative attacks and short on plans and solutions for the future of this community. We need a leader. We don't need someone that's been sitting on the sidelines for decades.
And Mr. Rodriguez.
Sure. Well, I do know one person who's more passionate about the city than Mr. Tolbert. That would be me. Now, I want to say, the current administration has remained silent on the issues that matter most to residents living in the city of Buffalo. When it comes to education, they've been far removed from being involved. When it comes to crime, the mayor wants to walk around pretending as though crime is not an issue in this city. He'll tell you that over and over again, and he'll put commercials about it. However, we all know better. We all know the truth. We need an administration that's more hands-on, that is involved, that has a sense of urgency, that understands the issues that matter most to residents. He's been far too concerned in cutting ribbons at ceremonies, staying in the second floor with a bodyguard that's separating him from the public, and getting hands-on in the neighborhoods. When I talk to residents, stop.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Next question from Claudine Ewing from Channel 2. Claudine, your question goes to Mr. Brown first.
Mr. Brown, as we all know, the 2012 FBI annual crime report ranked the big cities, and Buffalo had the 11th highest violent crime rate in the United States of America. You have talked about more than once a plan to fight violent crime. What is it? Because residents at this time, they are eager to know, they are angry about it, and for the other candidates, what would be your specific plan?
As I've said, any one crime is one too many. I'm the only one up here who gets the calls from the police commissioner in the middle of the night when there's a crime. I'm the only one up here who has visited families in their living rooms and at hospitals and goes to the funerals when people have been killed in our community. That's why I created the Strike Force, a partnership between the City of Buffalo, the New York State Police, the Erie County Sheriff's Office, to go after guns, gangs, and drugs. That's why I reestablished the Cold Case Squad, to send a message to killers in this city that whether a murder is a year old or 30 years old, we are looking for you. We will look for you, we will find you, and we will put you in jail. Hired 230 new police officers, installed 205 surveillance cameras, have increased police visibilities at special events, parks, neighborhoods throughout Buffalo. We have a very clear plan.
And Mr. Rodriguez, you're next on this question.
You know, there was a 16-year-old boy that was shot and killed a couple of months ago on Northland Avenue. This is only a few blocks from where the current mayor lives. The next day I went there, I went to the streets and I talked to people there. They don't see the mayor come around. So he's not, you know, he's claiming that he's going out there and talking to real people. I don't see that. People don't see that. He's very disconnected. Now, we spent last year $11 million in overtime. We could hire 200 police officers at a $55,000 annual salary and put them out on the streets to work for residents and walk the beat. There's nobody walking the beat. I have never seen a police officer walk the beat in my street. Also, gun-related unsolved homicides have increased dramatically since the administration took over. Right now, 3 out of 4 today, in this year, of gun-related homicides have not been solved. So I'm not sure what this cold case squad is doing.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Tolbert, 1 minute.
Thank you. The mayor talks about his efforts in reducing crime and how you'll hear him say that Buffalo is a safer city. I've walked every election district in this city, and neighbors, residents tell me we don't feel safe. I've talked to individuals who said, I don't feel safe going out of my house in the evening. One gentleman told me, I don't feel safe sitting on my porch, all because they're afraid of being the victim of a violent crime. The current administration has its head in the sand when it says that this is a safer city. We are not safe. I don't know where the mayor is getting his information from. He talks about the fact that he's hired 220 police officers since 2006. What he doesn't tell you is that he's lost about 260 through attrition. So the result is we have fewer police officers on the street. You don't see police officers walking the beat as they should be. This is not a safe city. We are the 11th most dangerous city in the United States. This is my home, something I'm not proud of. This will not happen under a Tolbert administration.
Our next question comes from Eileen Buckley from WBFO Radio. And Eileen, your question goes first to Mr. Rodriguez.
For neighborhood development, we are witnessing all the large cranes in downtown Buffalo and waterfront development. But what would your plan be to stabilize our city neighborhoods on the city's east and west sides and create more livable, walkable, safe neighborhoods and prevent some of these vacant and dilapidated properties from being demolished?
Sure. Thank you for asking that very important question. You know, I attribute the success in the waterfront to Mayor Higgins, or rather Congressman Higgins. Now, here's the thing. The best way to stop a bullet is with a job. And jobs, look, we have a 10.2% unemployment rate in the city of Buffalo. We have the Outsource Center on the east side of Buffalo. This is an organization that is there to train women and minorities to work in the construction field. They asked the mayor for some assistance. Hey, what can you do to help us bridge the gap between us and the developers? You know what type of assistance they offered? Zero. So we need to ensure that when we have organizations like these, we're helping them in any way, shape, or form that we can. So that's one thing. We need to develop jobs. We need to fight for the federal minimum guideline for women and minorities working in the downtown area with in the construction field. There's no reason why this mayor, in a city where we have a 49% population of minorities, that he's not fighting to get women and minorities employed downtown.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Mr. Tolbert, you're next on this question.
Thank you. You mentioned the cranes that we see downtown. And cranes are good, but I'd like to see more cranes or something similar in our neighborhoods because we are not doing the job in our neighborhoods. I say to develop a waterfront and develop your downtown area without paying attention to your neighborhoods is a recipe for disaster. In the Tolbert administration, we will take care of our neighborhoods. Any city, not just Buffalo, is only as strong as its weakest neighborhood. And the current administration has completely, totally failed our neighborhoods. I've talked to residents and I tell them that we have $1.7 billion worth of development, supposedly. And they say, where is it? Show it to me. I don't see it. When you stand on Broadway and Fillmore, you don't see it. When you stand on Jefferson and William, you don't see it. We do not see that kind of development that we need to see in the neighborhoods. What I would do is look to rehab homes when we can. When we have to demolish a home, let's come up with a strategic plan as to what we're going to do for that home. How about urban farming? How about converting some of those tracts of land into a place where we can grow vegetables to feed our community?
Mr. Brown, on the question, you have 1 minute.
Mr. Tolbert has a very selective memory. When he was the resident agent in charge of the FBI, major crime was higher than it is in Buffalo right now. And you can't find anybody that will tell you that Mr. Tolbert did any street walking at that time when he headed the FBI here. It's very convenient for a guy that just got back here from Atlanta to say what he would do when he didn't do anything when he was here. Now, what we have done is demolished over 4,700 vacant, unsalvageable structures. When I came into office as mayor, there were over 23,000 vacant buildings. That demolition program cost over $100 million. We took $27 million of funding through the city and leveraged $214 million of investment in affordable housing throughout the city of Buffalo on the east side and the west side.
Gentlemen, thank you. Our next email question tonight comes from Paul, and he asks, will your administration provide operational support for cultural organizations and enforce the 1% public art requirement in the city charter that says public art must be part of every publicly funded project? Mr. Tolbert, we'll start with you. And a reminder, these questions you have just 30 seconds on.
I would absolutely support our cultural organizations. One of the important factors in any city being successful is its quality of life. And the arts and the cultures play an important role in that quality of life. We have limited funds, so we have to prioritize. But I will seek ways to provide as much city support as I can. But in those instances where we don't have enough funding, I will look to partner with businesses and others in a collaborative way so that we can fully recognize and fully appreciate and support our arts and cultures.
Mr. Brown, on this question.
When I came into office as mayor, the Arts Commission was completely eliminated. There was virtually no funding for arts and culture. I restored the Arts Commission. I restored the funding for monument restoration in the city of Buffalo. We restored the grant and aid program, and we provide money for cultural organizations and festivals throughout the city of Buffalo. Arts equal economic development, and I have been a strong supporter of the arts in Buffalo.
And Mr. Rodriguez.
Yes. However, you know, in the mid-90s, the Common Council passed a resolution which entailed that 1% of the city tax dollars collected, the revenue, would go towards funding these type of organizations, arts and culture. The mayor hasn't done anything to enforce that. Absolutely nothing. So we know that we get, I believe, and please don't quote me on the truth test, but I believe it's about for every dollar invested in arts and culture, we get about $9 in return. So we have to put our money where our mouths is and obey the current regulation stipulating that we allow 1% of our tax revenues to them.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. We've completed another round, and I'll remind our viewers and listeners that this is Decision 2013, the Buffalo mayoral debate, coming to you live from the WNED studios. Back to the top of our panel, Bob McCarthy from the Buffalo News. Bob, your next question goes first to Mr. Brown.
Mr. Brown, you have certainly discussed this topic before with the Buffalo News, but for the benefit of our radio and television audience, can you explain your reluctance to take a stand on key aspects of the state's new gun control law, the New York SAFE Act? Specifically, your refusal to follow the lead of the state's other Big Five mayors in supporting a ban on assault weapons and a limitation on the number of bullets in an ammunition clip.
Well, let me first say I have heard so many different figures from Mr. Rodriguez that are all wrong. I'm glad he's not a math teacher in the Buffalo Public Schools. Our children wouldn't be learning a thing. I supported the SAFE Act. The SAFE Act is a 41-page piece of legislation. I read every single bit of it. I have said numerous times I support the legislation. It was legislation that was designed by the governor, passed by the state legislature, and I support it. And I have been one of the strongest advocates for gun control and removing guns from the streets of the city of Buffalo in this region. During my tenure as mayor, we have removed over 11,000 guns from the streets of this city. So I support the SAFE Act. I've been very clear on the fact that I support the SAFE Act.
Mr. Rodriguez, you're next on this question.
Yes, you know what's interesting is that gun-related homicides have increased, gun-related shootings have increased over the past several years. I released infographics, which we've published on our website on the crime platform that talks about these facts. And I'm no math teacher, Mr. Mayor. But I can tell you, when it comes to the New York SAFE Act, there are some aspects of it that I do support and some that I don't. I think we're missing the point here. I fail to see how restricting the rights of law-abiding citizens in terms of the number of bullets that they carry in their chamber, how that does anything to deter crime. Crime has only gone up. He's got a gun buyback program that's entirely ineffective, that encourages criminals that shoot somebody to turn in a weapon, and the city is paying them for it and removing the evidence. They destroy the evidence. I don't know what kind of, you know, this is an ineffective program that does not work.
Mr. Tolbert, 1 minute on the question.
Thank you. The SAFE Act was a response to a shooting in a school in an attempt to do something. I think the SAFE Act is well-intended. It's not perfect, but it does have in mind the idea of making our streets safer. So to that extent, I certainly support the SAFE Act. I don't think that it's perfect. I think they had to make changes in the law very shortly after it was changed because it was rushed through so quickly. So we need to continue to work on the SAFE Act. We need to make it so that it's relevant. We need to make it so that it's effective and that it does the job it's intended, make our cities safer. Unlike the mayor's gun buyback program, which is nothing more than a PR stunt. To tell people that you're safer because I've taken guns off the street is disingenuous. The guns that get taken off the street are not the guns that are being used in crimes. We need to focus on getting the guns out of the hands of the criminal and forget about a grandstand stunt. Gun buyback, the other fallacy in the gun buyback program is that it doesn't account for guns that may have been used in crimes.
Bob, you have a follow-up.
Yes, for Mr. Brown. Do you support a ban on assault weapons and a limitation on the number of bullets in an ammunition clip?
Again, I indicated that I supported the SAFE Act. One of my concerns with the SAFE Act initially is that it did not provide an exemption for law enforcement. I was very clear on the fact that it didn't provide the exemption for law enforcement. The act was later corrected, and that exemption was provided.
Could you answer the question, please, Mr. Brown, and whether or not you support a ban on assault weapons and a limitation on the number of bullets in an ammunition clip.
Again, I support the SAFE Act. My concern initially was that it did not provide an exemption for law enforcement. It now does, and I'm pleased that that change was made to the legislation.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'll give you 30 seconds on this, if you'd like it.
Do I support limitations? I don't. I don't think limiting the number of bullets in a chamber is going to stop anybody from doing anything. If you're going to obtain a weapon illegally, you're not going to go through the legal process. People will get their hands on them. I don't see a need to have assault weapon in an urban environment. I just don't see it. So, you know, that's something I have to learn a little bit more about. But in concept, I just don't like the idea of having people walking around with assault weapons.
And Mr. Tolbert.
I, too, think that assault weapons are not necessary in an urban environment. Unfortunately, the SAFE Act is a one-way or the other proposition. I do not think that law-abiding citizens who follow the law and do things legally should be unnecessarily burdened by oversight from the government. However, in our city, we're the 11th most dangerous city in the United States. We must do something. I'm in favor of doing everything I can to make our city safer.
Next question from Claudine Ewing from Channel 2. And Claudine, your question goes first to Mr. Rodriguez.
Mr. Rodriguez, everyone standing there has some type of political or work-related scar. Mr. Brown, a Cleveland developer, accused you of corruption and racketeering. Mr. Tolbert, you have been named in a sexual harassment lawsuit. Mr. Rodriguez, you have been sued by New York State for not repaying college loans. For each of you, what are voters to really think of you? Are you that A-plus candidate that they need and that they deserve in the city of good neighbors?
Sure. Thank you for asking that question. Look, I'm a human being. I've struggled in life. When I was seeking my associate's degree, I struggled. I was working. I repaid all my student loan debts, and that's what happened. I'm happy to say, though, that I have earned a master's degree in organizational leadership from Medea College since then. So we all go through hard times. If anything, I think that makes me more relatable to people out there in the city of Buffalo. Many of us are struggling in this country with student loan debts. So I'm not too overly, you know, and I don't think the public is overly concerned with that aspect and what happened in that regards. I've paid every penny of it. I have a master's degree. I'm very proud of that. What I would like to talk about is what we can do about the issues in the city of Buffalo. We need real leadership, and I have proven leadership in nonprofit organizations, in government, in the private sector. That's something that our current mayor can't say. He's led a political life in his entire life.
Mr. Tolbert, on this question.
Thank you. Let me first correct something. You said that I've been named in a sexual harassment lawsuit. That lawsuit with a woman when I worked at the National Basketball Association filed a lawsuit claiming she was denied promotion and raises based on gender. She did not accuse me of sexually harassing her. But you asked the question of what can people expect. Let me tell you what you can expect from Bernie Tolbert. Bernie Tolbert was raised by a mother who has been the absolute rock in my life. I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have a granddaughter and a sister. And I must mention my daughter. All of these women have been and will continue to be instrumental in my life. There is no way Bernie Tolbert will ever treat anyone in a disparate way. And I will also advise that that lawsuit was settled over my objections. I did not want to settle it, but it was settled by the National Basketball Association, and it was settled with no finding of wrongdoing on my part. In the Tolbert administration, you will always get the utmost in respect, treatment, and dignity.
Mr. Brown, on this question, 1 minute.
I have been very clear on that issue. That lawsuit is absolute nonsense. It is baseless, and we are fighting it in court, and we will prevail.
No follow-up, Claudine. Next question from Eileen Buckley. No extra time. Next question. Good try, though. Eileen Buckley, your next question tonight comes from goes to Mr. Tolbert first.
Well, recent unemployment numbers for the Buffalo Niagara region are appearing encouraging. The latest numbers for this summer have been down again. In the city of Buffalo, however, the last month's rate showed an increase. And it appears the numbers indicate 45% of African-American males living in the city of Buffalo are unemployed. Mr. Tolbert, what would your job plan be to create new jobs and bring these unemployed people back to work in the city of Buffalo?
Thank you. Unemployment in Buffalo is at an all-time high. When Mayor Brown took office, unemployment was at 6%. Today, it's 10.2%. That's not progress. That's regression. We do have to do something to change our unemployment situation. The one thing I hear more than anything else when I go out and talk to people, especially young black men on the street, is that, can you get me a job? The common theme that I hear is we need jobs. And as was said earlier, nothing stops a bullet like a job. So finding jobs will help to decrease our crime rate in this city. I have a plan that's on my website, Tolbert2013.com, that talks about economic development, which includes getting jobs for our young people. It's something that will be a priority in my administration. It's something that I will focus on and be concerned with every day.
Mr. Brown, you're next on this question. 1 minute.
Right now, there is record job creation taking place in the city of Buffalo. It will impact people at the lowest levels of education all the way to PhD levels. One of the reasons why we provided over 17,000 employment opportunities with training for our youth would be so that they would be prepared for the jobs of the future. With the thousands of jobs that are coming online in Buffalo, we need to connect job seekers who are low-skilled with training opportunities. I'm a member of Governor Cuomo's Regional Economic Development Council, which is creating various training opportunities. We have the Buffalo Employment and Training Center, where staff works 7 days a week in bringing to the public's attention not only employment opportunities, but training opportunities. Buffalo is being transformed right now. Thousands of jobs are being created, and they will benefit every resident.
And Mr. Rodriguez on the question.
Those jobs are not being created for city residents. When we're talking about the job report, there's the Buffalo Niagara region, and then there's the city of Buffalo. There's a 2006, the unemployment rate in the city of Buffalo was 6.5. Right now, in July of this year, it's 10.2%. So when we hear an administration that's so out of touch, so oblivious to reality, as to say that we're creating jobs when we're facing the highest unemployment rate in 20 years, we have to ask ourselves, is this the kind of mayor that we want to elect for yet a third term when he's not even being truthful to us and being frank and upfront with us? Creating jobs for the youth? What are we going to do to create jobs for those who need to put food at their table and have real bills to pay? That's what we need to focus on, in supporting organizations like the Outsource Center that help women and minorities is a start. Creating a one-stop shop for businesses to streamline the process is another start.
Gentlemen, we have time for one more email question tonight, a viewer or listener question. It comes from Paulette, and the question is, do you think it is ethical to ask city employees and businesses for campaign contributions, and would you continue the practice this practice of campaign financing? Mr. Brown, you're up first on this, just 30 seconds.
City employees, county employees, state employees are American citizens. They should be able to be involved in campaigns, in contribution. That is their right. So I would not restrict an employee's ability to donate to a campaign if they choose to. We don't go out of our way to ask employees to donate. And it certainly is no requirement of any employee to donate. But I certainly would not restrict an employee's right to donate or to be involved in a campaign.
Mr. Rodriguez, 30 seconds.
He also doesn't restrict a police chief in the city of Buffalo appearing in their full police uniform on a television advertisement that you and I funded. So he also, look, when you're looking at the donations that this administration has received, it's very top-heavy in terms of city employees, There's a culture of fear that exists. They feel like they must, in order for them to get any level of promotion, that they must contribute to this this mayor's campaign. So people are not funding it. It's a culture of fear that's funding this campaign.
Mr. Tolbert.
Thank you. I've been told that when employees come on board in the city, they sign a card, a pledge card, if you will, that has a place where you check off donations to the mayor's campaign, and it's taken out of your paycheck over time. That's been told to me. But one thing that I do know, and I've said this publicly, I absolutely will not solicit any city employees for contributions to my campaign. I think it's unethical, and I think it creates the wrong appearance. Not only will I not solicit city employees, I will not solicit any contractor who works for the city of Buffalo. Again, it's appearance of impropriety that I will not want to have associated with me.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. That brings our debate portion, our question and answer portion, to a close. It's time now for closing statements. Again, this was done by a draw, and Mr. Brown, you're going to be first. You have 1 minute for your closing statement.
This is a time of great progress in the city of Buffalo. We've cut the tax rate. We have our highest municipal credit rating in history. We've cleaned the landscape of the city of Buffalo, demolishing over 4,700 vacant properties. This is a time when we are making great progress. We can't go back. We can't put the future of the city in the hands of people who are unprepared, in the hands of people who are unstudied, in the hands of people who are novices to entrust the future of this city to. We have come too far. We have made too much progress, and too much has been done to lay a strong, firm foundation for this city. I thank the voters and the residents of Buffalo for the confidence and trust they have placed in me, and I ask for your continued support, prayers, and vote in this election. Thank you.
Mr. Tolmert, you have 1 minute for your closing statement.
Thank you for everyone involved in tonight's election. 47% of our children is failing out of school. Third poorest city in the United States. 11th most dangerous city in America. That's the story of Byron Brown's Buffalo. Let me ask you, is there anything that would make you think it would be any different after 4 more years? Byron Brown does not have a plan. He rides on the coattails of others. Cuomo, Schumer, Higgins, even the control board. He takes credit for things that are not part of City Hall. In a Bernie Talbert administration, you will not see that. I have the leadership and I have the skills necessary to be able to lead this city forward. I've got 40 years of executive experience, executive management level experience. I will bring that to the city. I will bring that experience. I will use that to make sure that this city grows forward. I'm asking for your support on September 10th in the Democratic primary to elect me as the next mayor of the city of Buffalo. I need your help.
Mr. Rodriguez, 1 minute.
Thank you. Now, my opponent likes to tout his political experience as the reason why we should reelect him for yet another term. Now, let me tell you what this so-called political experience has done for the city of Buffalo. Under his administration, we've become the third poorest city in America, the 11th most violent city in the nation, the 10th most dangerous. A graduation rate of 47% for our kids, the highest unemployment rate in 20 years. And this mayor has the audacity to look at you in the face and tell you that there's progress in the city. Now, I tell you what, I have military experience, I have academic experience, nonprofit experience in the nonprofit sector, private sector experience, and I have the leadership, vision, and sense of urgency required to help Buffalo achieve its true potential. Vote for me November 5th.
Thank you, gentlemen, very much. That will bring our debate to a close tonight, but stay tuned for a recap and analysis coming up in just a minute. I want to thank our panelists, and I want to thank the League of Women Voters of Buffalo Niagara for helping with tonight's program. We also want to thank the candidates, Byron Brown, Sergio Rodriguez, and Bernie Tolbert. And we want to thank you for watching and listening. Now it's time to make your voice heard. Please remember to vote on primary day, September 10th, and on election day this November 5th. I'm Jim Ranney. Now let's go to Mary Alice Demler and Scott Levin at WGRZ-TV. Good night.
Well, time now to take a closer look at what was said during tonight's spirited debate. And in order to do that, we have former Republican Congressman Tom Reynolds and former Democrat State Assembly Leader Paul Tokas joining us tonight. Gentlemen, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Let's start out first by having you just give us a quick overview, your overall impression. Mr. Tokas, let's start with you.
I think as with any debate, Mary Alice and Scott, the individual candidates made the points they wanted to make. They responded to the questions they wanted to, the way they wanted to respond to them. And I think generally that's the way you want a debate to go. And I think that's the way this debate went in kind of a general overview.
Mr. Reynolds?
It was a good debate. No surprises. Run pretty tight. The questions were right out there. But I think the composure of all three candidates was solid. And the mayor ran, it's clear, is running on his record. The challengers are attacking that record. And I think we'll see more of that in the final days of this primary.
Paul, we spoke about a lot of different issues tonight. Who made the most headway tonight during this debate?
I think it's hard to argue that Sergio Rodriguez will now be known by more people. I think he was more glib. I think, generally speaking, he was more attacking. He knows that he doesn't have a primary, and therefore, I think he's focused on Mayor Brown. Mayor Brown wanted to talk about progress in the city, which he's talked about. But I think, generally speaking, people will know Sergio Rodriguez after this debate.
Tom, when it comes to preparation, that's always an important aspect of a debate. Were Mr. Tolbert and Mr. Rodriguez prepared on the level that you were expecting?
Well, I think they did a pretty good job in their presentations. I thought Bernie went after the mayor's record, but he was a little short on solutions. I was particularly impressed with Mr. Rodriguez, who I did not know, with the facts that he brought out. He had some quick one-liners, and he went fully right after the mayor relative to almost any issue that was brought up in the debate tonight. And I agree with Paul. I think that will be an asset to him as he continues in his campaign.
Now, there's a huge deficit that Bernie Tolbert has to overcome for this primary. Did he make any headway tonight?
I didn't see it in his answers and lack of specificity in terms of some of the questions. To be the chief executive of the city is a very difficult task, and to try to explain that in 45 minutes is even more difficult. I think Mayor Brown did a great job talking about the progress that the city's made. They disagreed with whether he should get credit or not, but if you're the executive of the city, you get credit for what's going on in your city as you get the blame for what's going on in your city.
Mm-hmm. And Mr. Reynolds, do you think they made the mayor vulnerable in any area?
Not that I saw tonight. I don't think there were any real mistakes there. I don't think there were any knockout punches. And so if you come out, all the camps are going to say, hey, we did well tonight. But in reality, I don't see much polling difference in the days to come based on this debate. And once in a while, you'll find a debate across the nation where that debate brings a rocking result. I don't think we're going to see that at all. I think that's what Paul was somewhat saying. That's what I see here is no mistakes. We're just moving on to the next stage after this debate.
Gentlemen, we'll hear more from you tonight at 11 o'clock on Channel 2 as well.
Thank you. Well, our Decision 2013 coverage continues online at WGRZ.com, where you'll be able to watch the full debate and see our aforementioned troop test.
And we'll also have another one tomorrow night at 6 o'clock right here on Channel 2. Investigative Post editor Jim Heaney was in the audience tonight. He'll put the claims to the troop test.
We'll see you tonight at 11.